Welcome back, everyone, to RoomPak's ResEd Chat Podcast. If you're new to the show, every episode we feature a variety of topics of interest to hired professionals who work in and with university housing, residence life, residential education, whatever you might call it. All are welcome here. So we have a very interesting topic today, talking about stoicism and how it sort of relates to the residence life experience. I'd say maybe speaking a little bit more from kind of the staff perspective, but I'm sure, student experience will kind of weave in here a little bit as well. But I think, I'm excited for this. It stuck out to me. We reached out, as we always do every year, bringing on the blog cohort that has been writing. I've been kind of following along on the RoomPak blog. So this is just an opportunity to kind of get to know them a little bit better, a little bit of different format, and sort of add to that kind of thought leadership that they're adding to the field here. So we'll start as we always do, but our guest is a rare return guest to ResEd Chat. So Sam, why don't you reintroduce yourself to everyone and give kind of a brief overview of your professional background, I guess the updates since you were last on.
Yeah, absolutely. So hi, everyone. My name is Sam Ferrigno. I use she, her pronouns. In my current role, I'm working at George Mason University as their coordinator for RSDI, which stands for Residential Student Development Initiatives. All to say, I work a lot with our in-house residential curriculum, as well as the student staff training process and the student staff selection process. Last we spoke, I think I was working at University of Maryland, Baltimore County, where I was in the traditional community director role there. So the change kind of came from the work that I did at UMBC. I got to work a lot with the curriculum there, and I found it to be a really big area of passion for me. It was something that I really look forward to, going to those committee meetings every week and taking student feedback and kind of crafting the most impactful residential experience I could. So I started looking for jobs that would kind of let me move more in that direction. And here I am at GMU. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah. We recorded back in March of 2023. And I'm hoping, as we're keeping the show going and more consistent, we'll have more opportunities of, return guests and everything. I think obviously there's no shortage of great people out there to talk to about interesting stuff, but it's also like the folks who are like cool to talk to. And, you have a very unique perspective. I remember just from that previous conversation and, that's kind of a through line to what we're talking about here, stoicism. But before we get to that, because, you have been, as we're recording this, is October of 2024. You've been writing on the RoomPak blog for, this past calendar year. Could you just explain a little bit about your experience being a writer? And I guess obviously we're talking a bit about, one of the things that you have written about, but if you just want to kind of give a tip of the hat to the other things that you've written about this year so far, just talk to us about your experience being a writer.
Yeah, sure. So I think there's a strong theme to a lot of my posts, not all of them, but this is my sixth or seventh full year as a professional in an entry level position. So I think I see myself on the tail end of being at the entry level, having gone through a lot of different things at a couple different institutions, gained a lot of knowledge along the way, and hoping that a lot of what I write is helpful to newer entry level professionals. Those hard lessons that I had to learn, hopefully instead they can read a blog post and learn those lessons a little bit faster than I did. So I've written about using your ProDevo funds. I think that was my most recent post that we just posted today, I think. I've written about AI. I think technology is also an area of interest for me, although there's a lot of writing out there about a lot of technology in higher education. So I kind of wanted to look at something new, especially because I find myself using AI. I see a lot of my coworkers using AI to do a lot of the work that we do and kind of figuring out, at least within the higher education perspective, what is ethical. How do we use this in ways that is helpful and not harmful to ourselves, to the work that we do, to the students that we're working for, working with? And then another post, I guess, that I'll highlight is I did a little two series curriculum post to kind of remind people that the curricular approach is something that can be really fun. I think a lot of times we get really in our heads and, curriculum, again, is a passion of mine. So, of course, I'm convincing everyone that it's the best thing in the world. But I think what I've seen at a lot of schools is the curricular approach can be seen as like extra work that we do or just making things harder by changing everything from year to year. But looking at the long-term goal of like, this is a fun and different way to engage with our students. They can learn some life skills. They can learn some lessons, again, learning them the easy way instead of the hard way, and have fun while doing that learning.
Yeah. And I think that experience of being a writer and like, you know, kind of like having to write about something in some like set frequency, like that idea of like, yeah, you're living and breathing the curricular approach on a day to day. And kind of like, I don't know how maybe like the epiphany came to you, but that idea of like, it feels like this has like become too dry or too like self-serious or whatever. Like it's fun. It's sort of, you know, it should be something that feels enjoyable. And even I guess that idea of like, I'm like, all right, you know, obviously you wrote about it in that way, but even just, I'm sure people can make the acknowledgement of like, okay, maybe like fun doesn't strike you the right way, but like this should not be like painstaking, like miserable, like whatever kind of work. It's like you should at least be taking sort of solace or pleasure in the idea of continuous improvement, like in, you know, and trying to strive towards, like you're saying, like always trying to take the feedback and, you know, create a better student experience in the halls and everything. So yeah, so I think it is that you know, the fun experience, I guess, of being a writer is like sometimes kind of forcing yourself to kind of stretch and look at something from a different perspective and also like kind of coherently bring together concepts and connect dots and different things. So I think in that vein, I guess I'm curious, part of sort of the genesis of how this topic came up, but like stoicism and relating it to residence life work. So we'll spend some time here. We'll start off though, if you could explain the concept of stoicism in case folks aren't familiar with it, and just kind of like the initial sort of way that you apply it to your work.
Yeah, sure. So stoicism is an ancient philosophy, a school of philosophy. It originated in like ancient Greece and ancient Rome. And it really focuses on certain principles and virtues, and essentially, you know, I mean, life is a lot more simple back then, but the Stoics believe that if you followed these four certain virtues of wisdom, courage, temperance, and justice, that like everything will kind of just fall into place. You know, you are doing what is right, doing what you believe is true, while also realizing that everything exists in moderation, which comes into that like temperance piece. And I think when they speak about temperance, it's a lot about like managing our own resources and emotions, right? The work that we do can be very emotional, especially for people who work more directly with students who work on call. I do still serve in an on-call rotation in my current role. So I think that's kind of what led me to kind of seek something out to outside of just our student development theory that we learn about in school. You know, what are ways that I as a professional can better manage crisis, can better help manage students' expectations. So I think that's mostly what Stoicism is about. They've got a lot of great like one-liners, great quotes. So if you've ever heard Memento Mori, which means remember you will die. So it sounds kind of dark, but it's just a remembrance that, you know, we're supposed to live full, whole lives. And also that we're not immortal, you know, don't do anything too crazy. And Amor Fati, which is love of fate. So looking at life as everything that happens in your life is a good thing. Or, you know, even if it isn't a good thing, having a positive perspective on what is happening in your life, because you don't really have any other choice. You know, what's going to happen is going to happen, and you can control so little of what's around you. Really, you can only control like what you've got going on in your own head. So you have no choice other than to accept and to love like the life that you are living.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like I said, we'll spend a little time here to kind of elaborate on this, but like it makes me think of this quote that I heard randomly on a podcast that I was listening to. I listened to a lot of podcasts myself as well, and like the idea of kind of something what you said that made me think of it was the quote being like, you know, with things that happen to you, like it's all grist for the mill, you know, like it's all fuel for the fire. It all sort of is like part of the journey. It's part of your story. And that idea of like trying to make the most of circumstance and understand like moderation and all those kind of things. It's like keep pressing onward, keep moving forward and try to, you know, take challenges and opportunities. Cause like, I mean, I would never, as much as I'm aware of like stoicism, like I would never describe it as like a maybe inherently like optimistic like point of view, but it's at least just that idea of like perseverance and those sort of things, like the idea of like whatever adversity you encounter, like it's part of the journey, it's part of the story, it's part of what sort of like, you know, can kind of shape you and all that. And I think yeah, like it being a very like equalizing kind of philosophy, that idea of like, because like, hey, we all kind of end up at the same place, so like let's try to, you know, make make the most of it. And I think it's certainly something that like when I've encountered like, yeah, maybe those like kind of stray quotes or sort of anecdotes about stoicism, I've found it to be something that resonates with me. And I think that's also why I like this. Yeah, it kind of resonated with me as a topic to talk about for the podcast episode. So I appreciated that you kind of brought this perspective into the space. And I think if you can maybe, I guess, like talk a little bit more about, you know, the idea of like how you're incorporating into your work. Like, do you see it sort of showing up as much as like how you're working with your colleagues, as you're working with your students and those sort of things? Like the idea that it kind of has like a pretty broad, like, I think you're mentioning kind of offhand, like that, like, you know, oh yeah, I'm on call and I'm dealing with a student. Like I should try to keep some of these mantras and things in mind as I'm like doing that work.
If we had had this meeting, you know, a couple months ago, I'm fairly new to my role. So if you had asked these questions while I was a community director, I think the answers would differ a little bit more, because I worked a lot with students. Community directors are meeting with students, whether they're the RAs, they're students in crisis, students that have roommate conflicts every single day. Whereas in my current role, it's a lot less. I advise a student group. And I meet with students here and there to talk about our curriculum, what's going well, what's not going well, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think there's three kind of areas where it's helped me a lot. And it's work-life balance, coaching students, and managing relationships with coworkers. So thinking about like work-life balance, I think I am very pro work-life balance. Again, I think Stoicism teaches us to like throw away what's not important. Like there's a lot of resources out there that use very like harsh language of like, you know, toss the trash, whatever is not important to you as a person, like treat it brutally. You know, if for me, for an example, right, like I'm a very anxious person. I reread emails like 10 times before I send them, looking for every little typo, looking for like, oh, like, is that what I said going to be misinterpreted? Like, is it 1,000% crystal clear? And that wastes a lot of time. So I'm getting better at it. But like, that's one of those things, like, is someone going to notice that there's a typo in my email? Maybe. Is it going to matter at the end of the day? Probably not. You know, it's just an email. Like, I would rather think about the life that I'm building with my partner, you know, outside of work. So focusing less on those things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things, because again, memento mori, remember you're going to die one day. Like, you're not going to be on your deathbed thinking about that typo in that email. You're going to be thinking about all the wonderful things you did with your life. The second thing that I had said was students, working with students. Again, that's where more of the one-liners come in. I've had a lot of students in conflict with each other where they're doing and saying really harmful things. And being able to have kind of ask, like mix in restorative practices a little bit, and ask restorative questions, right? Are you living your values right now? Like, what you said to that person, like, do you want that to be what you're remembered for? Would you say that, you know, in another context? Like, you know, is this the kind of person that you want to become? And, you know, a specific example might be like, I've had students that want to go into the healthcare industry and they're threatening like physical harm on someone else. And like, you know, where are our values? What values do you have that brought you to wanting to work in healthcare? And like, how does that conflict with like what you're actually saying and doing right now? And I guess for maintaining relationships with coworkers, and this really hits harder at the CD level. I think most schools that I've worked at where there's more than a handful of CDs, the administration, the department has really tried to craft like a cohort model for community directors. You know, this is a position that has a high turnover rate. So I think they're looking to decrease that turnover rate by creating more community amongst your coworkers. You know, if you're investing in the people you work with, then you're going to want to invest in the position that you have. And that's a whole like separate topic on its own, of whether or not, you know, that is the way to go about making these positions, giving them more longevity. But what it is also like, I've seen a lot of coworkers where, get into conflicts with each other where like, I find myself asking like, what is the actual conflict? Like what is going on? Of course, I ask myself that almost every day, what is going on? I think the quote that I'm trying to come to that really captures this the best is Seneca. He was one of the, probably one of the most famous Stoics. He was an advisor to Emperor Nero. But he had said something along the lines of, we suffer more in imagination than in reality. It's one of my favorite quotes. But just speaking in modern times of like how much we get in our heads about like, oh my gosh, the way that person said that thing to me, like, do you think they dislike me? Like you're imagining, you know, you don't know for sure whether someone likes you or dislikes you truly until they say it to your face. You know, I do not like working with you. You can certainly, you know, put together whatever like facts and experiences that you have, but truly like you don't know until they say it. So why create these stories in your head, right? It doesn't matter if my coworkers don't like me or not, especially if they're not willing to tell me what problems they have with me. So it's just getting less in your head about everyday social interactions and seeing them for, you know, what they are. And if you're concerned, like have that hard conversation with the coworker. Hey, you know, I really didn't like the way you said this to me. Like, can you tell me more about why you said it this way or what your intentions were when you said that?
Yeah, I think like, it's just so, cause I think like all the things that you're talking about, like a lot of different, philosophies or whatever else would have you kind of end up in a similar place. But I think this being really refreshing in how like grounding it is, it's trying to kind of like simplify, it's like it feels very like serene because it's kind of that idea of like, yeah, we're, you know, in our own head so much, like catastrophizing and, you know, all these different things and all that. It's like being much more present, being much more connected to like what is actually going on, like what, you know, what's actually causing people to behave in such a way, like, you know, and not hypothesizing based on like, you know, a crumb of evidence of like, oh, maybe you don't like me or something. It's like, why would you think that? Because I think there's like, I don't even know where it's originated from, but the idea of like Occam's razor or whatever, like the simplest solution is probably the right one, you know, and the idea is like, oh, they're being such a jerk. Like, usually they're not that way. Like, what's going on? Like, do they hate me? Or like, did I do something wrong or whatever? It's like, they probably had like a bad day or like, I don't know, they like, you know, woke up, like didn't get a good night's sleep or something. But like, so like that being like a simple thing versus like, I don't think out of nowhere after knowing you for several years, you did a thing that made them radically change their perception of you. And now they're being like a awful jerk and whatever else. And then you're gonna like linger on that all day. And that'll sort of like, you know, I don't know. So it's like, just like very grounding, very present, very calming. Like these are all like sort of verbs or feelings that I get, I guess, from just like some of the things that you're sharing. And I think it is very important because yeah, like, residence life work, and you know, I kind of use this as sort of a setup for my next question, but like this work is so kind of inherently chaotic in the sense of like it is just a lot of variables, it's a lot of people, you know, that can be unpredictable or whatever else, so you need to be able to be, you know, nimble and flexible and sort of adaptable and, you know, all these sort of things. But I think, you know, none of us seems like kind of an oxymoron, but the idea of like being very like grounded and sort of like, you know, sort of like still will allow you to sort of like go with the flow versus like, I guess it's the idea of like getting, because if you're too in your head, you're maybe going to like, you know, anticipate or sort of like get ahead of yourself and kind of like be like jumpy or something, like, but versus sort of the like stillness, the calmness, the sort of like, you know, clear perspective, you know, I don't know. Yeah. And I think it's interesting saying too, where like, I do feel like it's one of those philosophies where it's like the quotes and the anecdote, like those like little mantras are as powerful as anything else, where it's just like, if you could like, you know, kind of meditate on those like phrases and things, like they could just be so powerful. But like, I guess, can you talk a little bit more about that? I guess just sort of, because obviously there's going to be the interactions with students, there's going to be the interactions with your colleagues, and I appreciate kind of how you're sort of outlining some of the things there. But the idea of, I guess what I'm sort of juxtaposing there, that like Stoicism can get you to a place of sort of just being that much better equipped, like from sort of the, like, you know, stillness and adaptability for like the inherent sort of like unpredictable nature of just sort of like being in residence life? Like, is that something that you kind of feel as well?
A lot of Stoic philosophy, like if you read it at face value, you can say like, wait, that doesn't make sense. On, you know, 5 pages ago, you told me to do the opposite. But yeah, I think there's a lot to say about like what the Seneca quote about, you know, not existing in your head too much. But then there's something that seems directly in opposition of that, which is preparing for the storm, right? Preparing for the storm while things are calm. And, you know, again, at face value, you might think you're just telling me to overthink. You're telling me to think about all the things that could go wrong. And I don't like that. I don't want to do that. You just told me to do the opposite. But that is more about like actual preparation, like getting out of your head and being like, okay, well, I'm going to be on call in 5 days. Like, I need to go get groceries. That's an actionable thing I can do. So I don't have to stress about like what I'm going to be eating for the next week. Let me like talk to like my supervisor and see what's been going on. Let me read the duty logs and see what's been going on so I can see like what have been the busy days, what have been the common issues, what have been the buildings that have been having the most problems. So yeah, it definitely helps manage a lot of that chaos. But when I'm reading, because I have a book that I read every day, it's like a 1 page a day kind of thing. When you're reading, you really have to like go a little bit deeper than the surface, because otherwise, like there does seem to be a lot of contradictions in the book that I'm reading.
Yeah, I guess that's part of it, because and I guess that speaks a little bit too that like it prepares you to be in a place of like adaptability, in so much as you're dealing with reality as it comes, or like just being very objective. Because I think the idea, what you're saying, that example of like, all right, I'm gonna be on duty, you know, next week. That is a fact, like that is coming up. I know how far away that is. I should prepare, versus like getting in your head and being like, oh, I'm going to be on duty next week. It's going to be awful. It's going to be the worst week of my life. Everything's going to go wrong. Like nothing I do, you know, matters or can change that or whatever. And it's like, you don't know that. Like no one can know that. What you do know is you are on duty next week. That does mean that your time is going to be a little bit more sort of like spoken for, whatever. You can objectively do things now to make that easier. Like, end of sentence, you know, whatever. And so like that feels very much more grounded, very objective, and very, you know, dealing with reality as it comes, versus like, yeah, getting in your head and all that. And that allows you to sort of like, yeah, deal with things as they come to you, like deal with that duty call as it comes up, and you're sort of walking in kind of like, all right, give me the facts, what's going on, like what are we dealing with here, versus again maybe being in your head and just being like, you know, these dumb students and blah blah blah, blah, like whatever. And it's like you're just entering it, like you haven't even gotten any sort of insight as to like what's actually happening in the situation. Like just kind of come to it and sort of like deal with sort of the inputs as they, you know, arrive. But and I guess what the other part of what I was kind of processing out loud as I was like presenting that question is the idea that like Stoicism is important in this context, because it stands in such a stark contrast to the inherent sort of like unpredictability of residence life. So it's like, what's that much more important? Like, this is something that I think anybody could be like, oh, that sounds so great. Like that would be really useful sort of like philosophy to have for life. And it's like, yeah. And if you work in res life, it's that much more important, because like, you just never really know what you're going to be dealing with any day, you know, any given day in the halls and stuff. So like, I guess just that, I guess like if you want to sort of, however that hits you, I guess, of like Stoicism is that much more important in residence life because of sort of the inherent, you know, unpredictable nature of like the work.
Yeah, I think the word that comes to mind is resilience, right? So that's another component of Stoicism. And like another little one-liner is like, it's okay to not have thoughts and opinions about things, especially negative things. Critics of Stoicism, I believe, would say that it's like it's an unrealistic philosophy because it coaches you to like throw away your emotions, but like that's not true. I think Stoicism doesn't always consider emotions because just, you know, our society is very different from it was in ancient Greece and ancient Rome. So I think that our relationship with emotions has become a lot more complex. But it's not about throwing away your emotions. It's about like maybe putting them aside for later, or like, again, temperance, like managing your own emotions, which, you know, student development theory, are 7 vectors of student development. You know, we have to manage our emotions just like we expect our students to manage their emotions. So while critics might say, again, like it's an emotionless philosophy, I would say it's just a simple way of living. You know, there are problems, there are solutions. If you have a problem and you don't have a solution, maybe find one or like accept that there is no solution. So I think it's made me go about my work in a much simpler way, whereas at my previous position, I was probably very vocal, like the first person to raise their hand and be like, I don't think we should be doing that. I do think it's important to advocate for our students and ourselves. But a lot of times I'm in a meeting and I go, you know, I think other people, I'll give other people a chance to speak because I do know that other people feel the same way as I do. Or maybe I just, you know, I don't have an opinion of this, especially like during the election season. I don't have time to have an opinion on everything. I don't have the bandwidth to have an opinion on everything. So I'm just going to be okay with not having an opinion on, you know, something that I probably can't change.
Yeah, I guess like it's because what I'm thinking of is like human beings are emotional animals. Like we'll have a lot of knee-jerk things, and that's sort of like, it feels very like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, just like simple in that way of just sort of like whatever you feel it. You just direct it at whoever's like, you know, in front of you kind of thing. And the idea where it might feel like, well, that's just sort of our inherent nature, right? But it's like, yes, but trying to come at it with like a stoic point of view, like it obviously it's just advocating for sort of simplicity and it's sort of very nature. But the idea that like the solution there or how to sort of manage that is kind of simple. Like one simple layer of sort of moderation of kind of just like, it's not about not feeling, it's about like managing that feeling and maybe finding like the right outlets for it. And, you know, and understanding sort of that those feelings are there, but the idea that, yeah, like you don't just have to like spurt out every thought that comes into your head or sort of just, you know, if somebody like, you know, hits your foot while you're walking, you have to be like knee jerk emotion or whatever. It's like, just sort of like let that be where it could be like, that's annoying. Yeah. Like, I think all of us know that that's annoying and all that, but like, what's the best, you know, use of that or what, you know, I don't know. So it does feel like it's sort of a simple layer, and that's sometimes maybe where it's sort of like confusing or frustrating for people, where it's like, it can't be that simple, or it can't be that easy, or can't, like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, like it's like our relationship with our emotions are so complex, and it's like, yes, but I think just like a pretty thin firewall can sometimes go a pretty long way. We're not just living as sort of these like raw nerves of emotion that, you know, whatever. Yeah, I don't. I think that's a lot of interesting kind of reflections and anecdotes and some great quotes for sure. But as we're wrapping up, I mean, you did write on this topic for the RoomPact blog, so we'll obviously be directing folks to that. But you know, you mentioned that book. I guess if you want to give kind of a shout out to that or any other like resources, because I feel like this one obviously might be one of the better episodes for like folks to go do their homework on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say of like all the research that I've done online, there's one name that keeps coming up in modern Stoic philosophy, and that's Ryan Holiday. He wrote the book that I just mentioned. It's called The Daily Stoic. It's a one line a day. So it's like 366 pages. And you just read one page a day. And they have a regular version, which is what I have, but they also have a journal version. So if you don't want to write in a regular book, you can write in the journal version of the book, you know, like a morning and evening reflection on like what that passage was for the day. He's got a podcast, he's got a website, he's got everything. And the reason it's kind of hard to come by like modern sources for a lot of this information is because like not all of this stuff was written down, or it's in a language that like three people on this earth can translate, you know, ancient Greek, or, you know, Latin, which, you know, if you're a fan of Latin, I'm sure you could find some original texts and translate them yourselves. But, you know, there's other than that, you know, the primary sources. So the main three, I guess, stars of Stoicism back in the day were Epictetus, Marcus Aurelius, who was a Roman emperor, and again, Seneca, who was an advisor to a Roman emperor. So anything you can find with their name attached to it, specifically Marcus Aurelius wrote Meditations, which was actually kind of like his personal reflections on his life, you know, all the personal lessons that he learned, and he was writing it to himself. It was never meant to be a book that was published, but it was helpful to a lot of people. So it's made its way out into the world. It's very short. I think I found YouTube videos where someone is narrating the whole thing, reading out the whole thing, and it's like 2 hours long. So I think that that's another, if you want a primary source, I would look up Marcus Aurelius's Meditations.
Awesome. Yeah. A lot of great stuff there. And I think, it's one of those things where, like, honestly, I'm kind of like, again, this has always been something that kind of resonates with me, that idea of like repeated, consistent sort of reminders and sort of like having those sort of like moments to really sit with like the quotes, the perspectives, all that. Like, it's many sort of like very philosophical kind of groupings or whatever, like, kind of have that, or where it's just like, oh, if you can just like remember these quotes or sort of like put them on your wall or something, like, it's really, you know, really powerful reminders and helping you to sort of constantly see things and have to think about them or whatever. But yes, it feels especially relevant here for Stoicism, and definitely feels like a very relevant and useful tool for all of our res lifers out there. And appreciate you thinking about this and sharing this, and for your service to the Room Packed community through being a writer over this past year. And we'll have ways to connect with you, your writing on this topic, and everything else that you've written in the show notes for the episode. So just really appreciate you, and appreciate your time hanging out for this episode.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.